Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 116, I believe. With me is not Tracy Erickson or John Jordan, but is in fact Mike Rhodes. Welcome,
Hello.
Mike.
Hi.
Hello.
It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's okay.
It's an extra special podcast this week, because not just because Mike's here. Well, that is special in itself.
Yeah, obviously.
But also because the iPad 2 was announced this week, and we'll be mainly focusing on that. The Rumor Miner is with Tracy and John in San Francisco, so we won't be covering that section today. So it's going to be a relatively short one. I hope you all don't mind. Of course, you can't react to that because it's all pre-recorded. So if you do mind, there's nothing you can do about it.
Unlucky guys.
So let's go straight on to the news.
News!
I've kind of preempted us for the news here.
Okay.
With the iPad. Anyway.
That sounds good.
Big surprise this week. Could you guess what it is, Mike?
I've heard there's some kind of new Apple product coming out soon. You'll have to fill me in on it, though. I don't understand what it is.
It's kind of like a netbook.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's basically just like a TV that I can carry around, I've heard. Is that kind of what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah? But it's got a 2 on the end as well.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Was there a first one? I don't know about these things.
Well, yes, there was.
I'm joking, of course.
I know.
Oh, I'm just so funny. Carry on.
Yes, Mike is correct. There is a new Apple product out this week, and it's the iPad 2. Not very surprising. We all kind of guessed this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean that the rumors are going to completely stop.
Mm-hmm.
There's meant to be an iPad 3 in November. That was one of the rumors I heard recently.
Okay, that's a bit crazy. If they just cut out number 2, that would have been a bit too hardcore, really.
Yeah, but they couldn't have called it iPad 3 then.
Oh well.
This is the perils of design. So the iPad 2. I've had a hands-on with it. So Tracy's written up a hands-on. If you're interested in seeing it, then still on the front page as we record. It'll probably be on the second page when you hear this. And because there's just so much news, the iPad 2. It's not that. It's like an incremental change, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It is better and it is smaller. What technology always does.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Except for the old Arcos MP3 players. They were just rubbish. They didn't get better.
Or the PlayStation. PlayStations just get bigger as well whenever anyone.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's thinner, a third thinner. Although they've done that curved thing at the back, so it actually feels a lot thinner.
So you can maybe use it as a seesaw? Is that the reason? Yeah, okay. if two people sit on it on either side, and can they rock?
They'd have to be quite small. They'd have to be borrower size.
Borrowers! Oh! Now we're getting somewhere. Okay, right.
To be honest, though, you need a whole tribe of borrowers to actually activate it. That would be something to watch.
Yeah. I'd pay to watch that, so.
Yeah, but you'd keep them in cages in between acts.
Well, I wouldn't keep them in cages.
You'd charge money for people to see it.
what do you think I am?
Yes, so as we've just now established, it's not really a device for the borrowers. The classic 90s children's book. It's curved. It's thinner than the iPhone 4. Mm-hmm. Although I didn't have an iPhone 4 to hand. I was the only person there without an iPhone. Hello.
That's embarrassing for you.
Yeah. Mm. Everyone had Macs, iPhones, Apples. They were eating apples as they walked around.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, when they didn't have any of their electronics out.
Do you reckon that they'll ever bring out a special kind of apple? Do you know, like a Granny Smith or something, but it'll be like a Steve Jobs apple? Because I think there's a missed opportunity there, to be honest.
It'd be quite expensive, but it'd be it'd be packed with apps.
Yeah, it's kind of vitamin, I guess. Yeah.
Vitamin app. Yeah. So, yes, we've established it's thinner. It's also... yeah, well, you know, we're a professional outfit. yeah, it's also got a dual core.
Okay.
Which still blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fact that it has a dual core. I mean, other devices coming out which have dual cores.
So let's say I'd already bought one of the iPad originals from
made an excellent bit. Purchase, sir. Thank you.
Well,
for
I don't have one, but let's pretend I had. I'm assuming then there's going to be like apps coming out for the iPad 2, which the original iPad can't handle. So isn't that going to irritate people that own the original iPad?
Well, normally it sort of takes about a year, or at least 6 months before they
start. Okay.
Because they're going to be, I think it's more going to be a charge once the iPhone 5 comes out, because that's almost inevitably going to be a dual core.
Mm-hmm.
So then once that's out, there'll be a little delay where people are going, ooh, there's not enough people to sell to, and then they'll start making them for them.
I always think it's strange how fast like new iPhones and stuff come out. Because it seems like, you know, if you buy like a games console, then you've got that then for like 6 years or something ridiculous like that, and the games always work on that thing. It's like now I've got like an iPod Touch, and I only got it like 3 years ago, and like loads of games now I just can't, when I try and run them on mine, it's like, well, no, you're not having that. Go out and buy a new one, please.
Yeah, I get that. I've got my iPod Touch 2nd gen sitting here in front of me.
Yeah.
Now, it's rapidly turning into just an MP3 player again.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a bit of a shame. Speedball 2 works on it, though.
Oh, that's nice.
I'll talk about that a little bit later. yeah, it's... I don't know. I think the problem... Well, no, I won't go into the problem yet. I'll talk about a bit more about the new features. It's also lighter. That is good. It
yes.
felt lighter in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
The iPad one was a bit heavy.
Mm.
It was nice, but a bit heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call it expensive. You know, when you pick up a device and it feels a bit weighty.
Like a sledgehammer.
Like a sledgehammer.
That's expensive.
What an expensive block I'm carrying around.
yeah.
Yeah.
I know the feeling.
It's a night. You feel like you've paid your money's worth. You got the block you wanted.
That's how they feel. Yeah. Really, you know.
Premium prick. Cost me an arm and a leg, but my God, feel how expensive that feels.
Mhm. Yep.
So I'm going to be doubting myself whenever I write. It feels expensive.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
It's all right.
You could use as expensive as a sledgehammer if you want as a, you know, as a simile. I'll let you do that. Just quote me after it, please. Cheers.
Thanks to Mike Rose there for it. so it's lighter. It's also got some apps with it. Well, it hasn't actually. It's got FaceTime. That's the app it has with it.
Yes.
The revolutionary software which allows you to speak to another person via video link up.
Christ.
Over Wi-Fi only.
Jeez. That's crazy. It's a bit like...
It's 2001.
Yeah.
Like, literally 2001. I think that was when Nokia...
yeah.
yeah. Well, FaceTime. I didn't get to try it out at the show. I still haven't tried it out. I'm really had enough of a extended period of an iPhone 4 to be able to try it. But, yeah.
The other one's GarageBand.
Yeah, it's not free though. You've got to pay $5.
Oh, what?
Yes, what? I know.
What? But explain to me what GarageBand is, because it's some kind of like mixing music thingy.
Yes.
Yes.
As I have a degree in music technology, listeners.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you?
Look at me. So whenever anyone says use GarageBand, I go. GarageBand. Yeah, right. GarageBand. You actually.
When you heard about this, were you like, oh, that's pretty sexy, or were you a bit like, oh, well.
GarageBand. No, yeah. It was more like GarageBand.
GarageBand.
GarageBand. Oh God. You get a real software. The weird thing was, right, during the presentation, Steve Jobs, I think it was Steve Jobs at this point, it's good to see him walking around as well, actually. That's another point.
True.
It's good that the scare stories people were trying to feed around the internet were incorrect. At one point during the presentation, he sort of said, it's incredible, back in the 1960s, the Beatles had to record, I can't do an impression of him, just doing sort of a random transatlantic thing. Mm-hmm. Beatles had to record on 4 tracks, and now this thing could do 8, and it's in a tablet. Mm-hmm. And I was but all the way through that, I was thinking to myself, Cubase has done 128 for like the last 10 years. Logic does over 100. And it was on a dual core laptop that I last used Logic. So it was like, I'm not impressed.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people were just kind of like, when they were talking about that, just yawn. Yes, okay, well done. You've put some music on the iPad. Well done there.
So. To be fair, it does look nice. I think for people who don't know much about music sequences, I think they'll love it because it is very slick. Mm. It's that sort of it's not iBooks, but you know, it's that approach that they've taken, the Apple approach.
The
Apple approach.
Mm. That's the reason why so many people get Macs.
Yeah.
Apple approach.
They're coming in from above. No, they're approaching via the Apple route. Oh my god, it's quite nice looking. It seems so intuitive and easy to use.
It's so smooth.
Exactly. Okay. and they've put iMovie as well. It's going to be a universal app, the iPhone, and that's $5. That looked nice as well. I mean, it looks nicer on the iPad than on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. That one. But again, iMovie. If you're a proper movie person, I've done some post-production. As part of the course and other stuff, everyone would then go, iMovie, what about, you know, Final Cut, what about Adobe Premiere, what about that weird one that I never used that was by Sony, Vegas, that's it, what about Vegas?
I wish I had things that I could do that about. I need to think of some things. You carry on talking. I'll think of some things that I can turn my nose up.
But iMovie looked nice. It looked nicer. What else has it got? It's got... it's a nice... in terms of my hands-on, I don't think it's going to be something where existing iPad users... I'm gathering most iPad listeners listening to this podcast are existing iPad users. But I don't think they're going to be... you know, blown away.
Enthralled.
Yeah. I mean...
Actually, the one thing that we do need to discuss is, on your hands-on, did you actually put your hands on the iPad? Because it's part of it. So you put both palms right down on it, did
you? Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's okay then, because...
You have to do that, otherwise you can't write hands-on. That's like a golden rule.
Yeah, because some people, they just don't do it, and they don't realize how important it is.
Yeah, I don't like that. I had to queue up for ages. Minkley cut in front of me. Radio 1's Johnny Minkley. He did it rather cleverly, though. He sort of held the iPad someone was taking a picture of, and then he just picked it up and went with it.
Oh, get out.
Sly bastard, eh? I had a proper hands-on. If I can't put my hands on it, I entitle an article Hands Off. But I think, which was like with the... HB tablet where they wouldn't let anyone touch. Yeah, I know.
Nice.
Yeah. Rubbish. Yeah, it's an incremental one. I think it's a nice machine. I think it's... I didn't get to see the full impact of the dual core at the at the time, and the 9x graphics increase sounds sexy on paper. But again, I didn't really get to see anything. There's
we
no
need
game.
To see it in motion.
Yes, I need to see it with my own eyes. I can't believe that. I have to see it with my own eyes.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice. If you don't have an iPad, then and you were thinking of getting one.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, like me then.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll consider it.
I'll tell you what is good, the case.
I saw the case.
Oh, that is nice.
There's a nice little thing on the Apple store where you can like pull the case back and this little animation happens, and I was like, oh, that's a bit nice, isn't it? But I don't know how useful it would be, really. Like, I don't know.
Imagine that you're writing a message to someone, but you didn't want the person left to see it. Or directly in front of you.
Yes.
You could write it with the cover half.
Oh, is that what it's for? For watching naughty videos while people are sat through you on a plane or something like that.
Yeah.
I get it now.
It's really strong, though, the magnets. Like, you can hold it up.
Did you see those magnets?
Did you see them? They're expensive, them magnets, I'll tell you that.
Great.
They're really strong. You can hold up the whole machine with the case. Although, if you do that, you really panic the Apple reps.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm.
But it's really nice, and it folds up. It's a lot like, it reminded me a little bit like, probably because it was magnets, it reminded me of a travel Scrabble set I once had.
Oh, really?
Back in the good old days, when you couldn't get TV in cars and...
But you don't need to do that now, because you can get...
sources.
you can get Scrabble on the iPad, so...
You can, yes.
Best of both worlds.
It's like the golden age of travel games is gone.
Yeah. I remember those days when I used to be sat in the car playing Monopoly.
Oh, Monopoly. Travel Monopoly with the tiny money, which is no bigger than your thumb.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
The game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the iPad's killed all that.
Bastards. Oh, well.
Anyway, it reminded me a little bit of that. So there we go. That's my iPad 2 analysis. It's going to be another big success. I don't see... it's going to be out, like, in America. It's out next week.
Uh-huh.
That's always surprising as well.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly they can get it turned around. And it's out on March 25th in the UK and a few of the other select large European markets, and then the other European markets a bit after that.
Yes.
For the same price as the iPad, so I think it's $425, $435, I can't remember off the top of my head. It's interesting. I wouldn't say it was a major upgrade. It wasn't magical. It didn't blow me away. But it's still a very nice device. So there we go. That's the iPad. Summarized in 20 minutes. It's not bad.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I think we managed to actually talk quite a while about something which is pretty much the original iPad, but a bit smaller.
Yes,
so,
and thinner. Don't forget the thinner.
Oh, yeah, sorry, thinner.
Yeah. Well, it's not actually smaller.
Oh, right. Just thinner. Oh, I'm gonna argue it is smaller because of the curved edges.
Oh, good point.
Shaved, I think we'll call it shaved.
Touché. Anyway, let's skip the rumour miner, because he's out, and also he's left quite a lot of hungry wolves outside the den,
so
it's probably not good if we go there. Let's go straight to the what we've been playing fields.
Okay.
Are you ready? This train is not the most stable train you've ever been on.
Oh, okay. I usually just go on Virgin trains, they're quite good. So,
yes. Well, this will be a shock.
Oh, God. I'm scared now.
What we've been playing! So, here we are in the What We've Been Playing fields after a 13-hour journey across the Pennines, which ended up with us dodging a volcano. No, I didn't go with that. Yes, so what we've been playing this week. Mike.
Hello. You want to know what I've been playing?
What have you been playing?
That's a good question. I have been playing the follow-up to Game Dev Story, which is called Hot Spring Story, which is, if we're talking about, you know, complete kind of taking strange directions, moving from game development management to managing a Japanese hot springs inn, is quite the crazy twist, I think.
That sounds perfectly logical to me.
I see where you're coming from with that. so it's kind of like the same game, but it's not. It's got all of the, you know, like little speech bubbles popping up, and all of the interfaces is basically the same.
I see.
It's kind of the same feel. But then it's, you know, it's a Hot Springs in management game, which at first I was a bit like, I don't barely know what a Hot Springs in is, so this is going to be embarrassing. But actually, it was a lot of fun. You basically, your little people run in, they go in their rooms, they get changed, they go for a dip in the pool, then they go and read something or eat something, they go for a sleep, and then they bugger off and you take all their money. And you just do that over and over again.
So it's more of a sort of standard management, this one, with actual customers coming in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's more like a kind of, I don't know, like a theme park style game from my wonderful childhood.
It's a good game.
Oh, it is. But obviously, because it's, how do you say their names? Kyrosoft?
Kyrosoft, I go with.
Yeah, so because it's them, obviously, it's got like a ton of personality and a ton of depth. It just, at first, it looks like, you know, there's not much going on. You build these rooms, these people come, do it over and over again. But eventually you realize, well, maybe if you kind of focus on this type of person and try and make them happy, then they'll offer you new rooms, or they'll make it so that you can make your lot bigger, and then you can go up for awards in guidebooks, yada, yada, yada. And it gets surprisingly deep. And obviously, as well, it's stupidly addictive, like Game Dev Story. You can just... You're meant to play for, like, 15 years in the game. And a year is probably, like, about 20 minutes or something. So, obviously, it's a long time. it's strange because I'm at the point now, I'm, like, on my second playthrough of it. I'm at the point where I've kind of... I feel like I've done everything that I can do in the game. There are still things to unlock, but I'm kind of just doing the same thing over and over again now, and yet I just can't stop playing it. It's a bastard. So that's my review of Hot Spring Story there.
Is it a hit or a miss?
I believe that's a hit!
Hooray!
Hooray!
That sounds good. I had that same feeling in Game Dev Story when I hit about sort of year 14 or 15, where it was just sort of like I had all of the things unlocked. I had a console. I was making so much money, but I was still playing. I didn't really understand at that point.
No.
It was like the animal game.
Yeah, exactly.
So good. And
The thing that's kind of different between them, which is kind of a bad point of Hot Spring Story, like in Games of Story, one of the real pulling powers of it was that it felt kind of really personal in that you chose what kind of games you were making and you gave a name to the game and, you know, like you chose your staff members and all this kind of stuff. It was like exactly like molded to how you wanted it. In this one, it's more kind of like, oh, just build this, build that. You can name things. But it's very, like, unpersonal. Is that a word? Unpersonal? Impersonal? One of those two. So it's not really got that edge that Game Dev Story had. But still, it's fun.
Yeah, I miss the days when you could rename everything in a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Calling everyone your school names, school friends' names. Anyway, that's me reminiscing. That sounds good. I think your review is up on site, so if you are interested in reading Mike's review on the game, then please go to the website and you'll see it there. And it got an 8, right?
It did get an 8.
Excellent.
That's true.
Well, we're moving from one 8 game to another 8 game. Mm. I was very close to saying a... yeah, thank you. links aren't my speciality. I've been playing, let me cough with it, I have been playing Speedball 2 Evolution, which is the remake of the 1991 Atari ST and Amiga hit futuristic sports game, fantasy sports game. Mm-hmm. You control a team. It's no longer Brutal Deluxe, but you can rename it what you want. There's another link. See what I did there? Anyway, and you have to take them up through the leagues over 10 seasons, and there's about 5 different competitions, I think. There's two cups and three leagues, I think. And to do, like, the game itself is a mixture of NHL, NFL, and pinball, and it's extremely violent, has basically no rules. You have the ball, 10 people on one side, they chuck the ball towards the goal or towards bumpers, or, and mainly you knock other people down without remorse and try to injure them, because you also score points for that. It's a stone cold classic in terms of gaming history, and surprisingly it's actually really good on the iPhone as well, mainly because it uses the same control method as the old control method, so it's just one button to actually do everything. So in this incarnation you just tap anywhere on the screen and you can pass, throw, you hold down for a long throw and you just tap it when you need to do anything else, and it works really well. There's a little bit of screen obscuring, but it's perfectly fine. It's very quick, very responsive.
So do you tap on the screen where you want it to go, or just tap anywhere and it will go to the right place?
You've got a virtual joystick in the left-hand side of the screen, which you can move freely, so for movement. Mm. Or you could choose the accelerometer, which is stupid. You shouldn't choose it. Mm. Unless you're weird.
Weird.
Yeah. Weirdo. Mm-hmm. It's very good. It's still the AI's always been a bit pants, but it's okay. There's an RPG element to it where you build up your team, you build up the stats, you transfer people in with the winnings, or if you're really lazy, you spend real money and get lots of cash as an in-app purchase. Yeah. It's really good. It's very entertaining. No online multiplayer. That was my biggest gripe, really, because it's such a good multiplayer game. That seems a shame that it's only local. But it does run on everything from the iPad to the iPod second gen, which is what I also tested on. I enjoyed it. I recommend it. 8 out of 10.
Nice.
Good. I also played Zen Puzzle Garden, but it's a sort of logic puzzler. I'm still going. Logic puzzler where you rake the ground in a garden. It's okay. It's a fine game, but I think it could have developed a little bit more over the course of the 30 levels. But yeah, again, the reviews up on site. It's a 7 out of 10 game. It looks nice though, and if you're in the mood for a logic puzzler which doesn't involve any tile swapping or cubes, then it's pretty good. It's from Pickpock as well. And someone else who I can't remember. Anyway.
Sweet!
Yes! So, that's the end for this week's extra special iPad 2 centric podcast. We have enjoyed having your company here in the podcast tower.
And in the fields and on the train, apparently.
Yes, and we'll be back to a normal service next week, where we'll be discussing the iPhone 5 rumors, and there's going to be at least one, we'll be looking at the latest games. The rumor man will be back. Tracy and John will be back in the hot seat, most likely, and it'll be a jolly old time. We'll probably have some lashings of ginger beer.
Hooray!
Hurrah!
Hooray!
Yes, so we will see you all next week, and thanks very much for listening. I've been Will Wilson.
And I have been Mike Rose.
And you have been awesome.